I saw you, and the world went away. Tonight, tonight, there's only you tonight. What you are, what you do, what you say.
Today, all day, I had the feeling a miracle would happen. I know now I was right.
For here you are, and what was just a world is a start to life.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and who we heard is Marnie Nixon, and you've heard her many, many, many times over the years. If you listen to West Side Story, My Fair Lady, The King and I, and all those recordings, many other actors played the roles, but Marnie Nixon's voice is the one you heard. And she wrote an incredible biography called, I Could Have Sung All Night. She's done incredible work. She was going to be in Baltimore this weekend, but could not come, taking care of her husband. But she joins us here by phone. She dubbed the senior role for Natalie Wood in West Side Story, which will be at BSO this weekend. And she was featured in Joan of Arc, one of my favorite movies of all time, The Secret Garden, My Fair Lady, The King and I. And Marnie Nixon, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'm okay. Thank you.
Good. How's your husband doing?
My husband is doing fine.
Good.
He's carrying on here.
So Marnie Nixon, you have, you know, people have all kinds of careers when it comes to theater and film, and they come through it in many different ways. And yours was particularly interesting because there's so many women that you worked with over the years, whether it's Ingrid Bergman in Joan of Arc in 1948 when you were just 18 years old, and Margaret O'Brien in the Secret Garden, and West Side Story, and you were dubbed in for Natalie Woods, which is a story in itself. But so what, talk about that for you. When you were a young actor and singer, and that was how you entered this world as kind of being the voice for others, but your own voice.
Well, actually, you know, at that time, I was, you know, in my late teens and early 20s, and I mean, it was the beginning of a wonderful part of just being a part of the industry. It was not something that I felt like it was like, oh, poor me. Although, of course, I wanted to get credit. And then when I was told I couldn't get credit on the movies, I just sort of had to accept it, either do the job or not. And it seemed like it was just a glorious. I mean, I just made the most of it. I was working with, for instance, with Deborah Carr. I worked a lot with her and knew exactly what she was doing, what she was thinking when she was doing her scenes, and we stood side by side when we recorded. And
oh, wow.
And so by the time West Side Story came along, which was after Deborah Carr, and I mean, I had done a lot of it was just something I did to... I did dubbing and group work and things in the movies just to subsidize my concert career, which I had. I was singing with Stravinsky and in Los Angeles and a lot of contemporary composers, and I felt that that was my main thing. But then I could also do the... I had been a child actress in Los Angeles, and so I kind of just related to this as a very good acting jobs. But by the time West Side Story came along, it was really... she did not want to be dubbed. she thought that she couldn't do it all, and yet they needed me. They just called me in and said, could you stand by? So they put me on a... they put me on a daily schedule, so I would just punch into the studio every day and do what I could. And they then had us recording our complete songs with the symphony orchestra that was playing in the movie, which was wonderful. And then they said they were going to just take portions that they thought of her voice and plug it in. which they then winked and said, well, you, to me, like, this is not really going to be the way it's going is, but we're going to tell her that, which was kind of sneaky. So that then she recorded things, and then I recorded things, and then afterwards she then mouthed to all, she did the film to all her own tracks. Except for me doing a few of the high notes, because she knew that I was there just for the, doing that. That's what she thought. And, and then after the film was taken, then they said, well, now we're going to then dub in your voice afterwards to the movie. Except that what they had done was a very, they didn't think that thoroughly. They did. They heard some of her mouthing to the track was not even correct to her own track.
So what did they do?
So, well, on the long shots, then they said, well, Marnie, they told me, Marnie, we hired you not for your voice, but for your iron nerve. So they said, so we just manufactured a way so that when her lips were a little bit not directly into the camera straightforward, I would have to be with the soundtrack. And because they couldn't change the soundtrack to go with her voice being out of kilter, you know. So anyway, so then I had to just redub the whole thing and manufacture the times that I could be with the music and try to be with her lips as much as possible on the... it was a very difficult job, but not the way it should be done.
But one of the things about West Side Story, which, of course, they'll be performing this weekend at the BSO, which we'll talk about in a moment, and it's going to be an amazing concert and production. But the idea that this album came out, and you actually sang the part of Maria...
Right.
On the album that became this huge hit under somebody else's name.
Right. And that's when I started to, because The King and I had done with no credit at all, and I didn't get any royalties on anything except the ordinary kind of rate you get for singing songs, which is about the hourly time you spend. I think for The King and I originally got paid... Plus, I mean, the time that I was in the studio, but then for the film, I got paid $420. And
wow.
So I got no royalties on that.
Wow.
And no credit. But it was, you know, it still was a good job. It was better than a chorus job. And I was still, you know, thinking, well, this is a wonderful acting experience. It's not my really career anyway. I'm doing all these wonderful high-powered concerts with the, by that time it was the New York Philharmonic and all over the country in very esoteric, wonderful things, concert things. So when West Side Story came along and I did this job, and then after I realized that I had them over the barrel, I mean, they had to use my voice. That I then got a lawyer and I said...
up.
I would like to have some royalties on this because I understand it's going to... You know, it's obviously a big hit already. It's a wonderful show and it's a wonderful piece to be a part of. And so I had to threaten them. I was scared to death and... said, well, if you use one iota of my voice, I'm going to sue you, and blah, 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 blah. And so it was Leonard Bernstein, whom I had done some concerts here in New York with the Philharmonic, who gave up 25% of his royalties.
Wow.
So that I could get some royalties. Because they told me, oh, well, all the royalties have been given away. We can't give you any royalties. And that's when I started standing up for my rights and say, well, you fix that up. I don't care, you know.
I just love that story. I mean, I think that I mean, you're what you've done, I was reading through your biography a little bit, I could have sung all night, which is just a story. I want to spend – what I like to do is one day spend even a longer time talking to you about your life and your work and Liberace and Victor Borgia and working with Stravinsky and –
Yeah.
And your life with Audrey Hepburn and Deborah Carr and what they were like. And Marilyn Monroe, were you saying the high notes, right?
Right.
For her. So this is just an amazing career. It's one of those kind of, in some ways, kind of dream career. Dream in one sense that you were kind of the voice that people didn't know, but then knew because of your other work. But it was like this amazing time you were able to have.
Well, you know, the thing was that I didn't try to just sing it my own way. I tried to sing it like the sound of the tone of their own voices. I had to kind of disguise my voice to be their, like their speaking voice and like their singing voices. And that was, to me, that was just, I just made it a positive thing, you know, to try to do it like an acting thing and try to. Anyway, it was wonderful and funny. I did get the royalties, and then on My Fair Lady, I was able to get the royalties that I could just say beforehand. Look, this is what I get to do it.
Well, let me just say, it's been just a joy to have you here. I hope you can come on for a longer time next time. I'm sorry you could not get to Baltimore.
Thank you. I hope I didn't bore you.
Oh, I the opposite. I want to hear more.
But okay.
Marnie Nixon, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a joy. I want to remind you all that this weekend, you don't want to miss it, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra's music director, Maren Alsop, leads the BSO in the performance of the film score of Bernstein's legendary West Side Story, and they'll be playing live to the film itself. Friday, June 14th and Saturday, and June 15th at 8 p.m., and Sunday, June 16th at 3 p.m. at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Orchestra. And it'll be an amazing, you'll see the film, and you'll hear the BSO do it live. Just go to bsomusic.org. For more information, and don't miss the pre-concert roundtable tonight featuring Bert Michaels, who plays Snowboy, Eddie Verso plays Juano, Harry Evans, who plays Mouthpiece at the Meyerhoff at 7 p.m. To 7:30. Jonathan Pilewski, an old friend, program director at WBJC, our sister station, will be moderating that, and you don't want to miss that as well. So thank you all for being with us here today. And by the way, I misspoke Sunday because I'm so calendrically challenged. I look at days wrong. Sunday is Tupac Shakur's birthday, not tomorrow. They get that straight. The Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's mortgage foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby and Marvin Holmes, Mark Ennery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineers are Andre Melton. Our intern is Lila Warshaw. Theme music by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear the show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews and more, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Remember, you can listen and download our podcast on iTunes. So please go there and listen to what we have to offer. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Stay tuned now for Michelle Martin and Tell Me More. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
That's
just the way it is.
Oh, yeah. I see no changes. All I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace to races. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this one better.